I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. We got a great show for you today. Here's a couple of questions to get you started. Who do you want to become? Who do you want to become? And what's God working on in that regard? What's He working on in you? Who do you want to become? And then what is the legacy that you want to leave? You know, these are questions that sports agent Kelly Masters asks each one of her players before her professional sports career begins, before their professional sports career begins. This is going to be such an interesting conversation. NFL sports agent Kelly Masters joins me today to talk about her book, High Impact Life, A Sports Agent's Secrets to Finding and Fulfilling a Purpose You Can't Lose. So on one hand, you're going to hear some behind-the-scenes stories from a female NFL sports agent. How interesting is that? But she, every time she tells a story or gives some kind of example, then she goes into personal application so that you can step into your high calling and you're willing to pay the price and have the faith to keep on keeping on when most people would rather quit. I pray by the end of the hour you're inspired and encouraged and motivated not to play it safe, but to follow Jesus where He's leading you. Couple quick announcements. I love that we give away these summer book bundles on Faith Radio. So we're giving one away every single week, and it's just a stack of books, some fun novels for summer reading and some fun nonfiction. I think each bundle is a little bit different, but if you want to be surprised and you love good books, you can sign up to win at myfaithradio.com. And then this Thursday night, if you mark your calendars, we're doing a live stream event. I'm going to be interviewing Mark Batterson, and our theme is Dream Big, Start Small, 7 p.m. We've got lots of fun giveaways, and you'll find, if you want information just to make it easy, you can text the word event to 877-933-2484. Also, got a handful of copies of Kelly's book, High Impact Life, A Sports Agent's Secrets to Finding and Fulfilling a Purpose You Can't Lose. It's a hardcover book, got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. If you've got questions throughout the show, text that same number, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kelly Masters is an attorney and a certified sports agent, founder of KMM Sports, a full-service sports management company based in Oklahoma City. She's represented more professional athletes than any other woman in the history of sports business and was named one of the most 25 influential women in sports worldwide by the Bleacher Report. In 2010, she became the first woman to represent a top five pick in the NFL draft. How cool is that? She's a pioneer and now pours her wisdom into others across the nation and around the world as a speaker, professor, and mentor. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so good to be part of it. Thank you.
Wow. You've lived such an interesting life. I cannot wait to dig in. And we love to start every day. I know. We love to start every day talking scripture. And I'm wondering, what have you been pondering these days? What the Lord is talking to you about?
So, gosh, so many things. And I just, over the last couple of weeks, we've had a lot of house guests. I kept my grandchildren for a week. And then we just had a family that stayed with us with their three little ones. And so I've talked a lot with the eight and under crowd about the word. And we've talked a lot about, hearing the voice of God every single day, every single moment that we're going through the day. It's not like we have to just check in with Him on Sundays or check in with Him in the morning and then go about our day or our week. We get to hear the voice of God in our life 24/7 if we listen. And I remember when I first became a believer, the scripture that I held on to was John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. And because I questioned, I came to know Jesus at a later age. I was in my 20s, and I talk about it in the book. Of course, I'd always called myself a Christian, but didn't really know Jesus and have that relationship till my 20s. And one of my thoughts was, because I was so performance-minded, that I haven't done enough to earn that relationship, that special, super special spirituality that allows you to hear the voice of God. And when I read that verse that His sheep hear His voice and they know them and they know Him and they follow Him, I thought, well, I'm a sheep. I'm all I did was say yes to follow Jesus. So that means I can hear Him. And that's the promise I have in the Word. And so even in my toughest days now, I have to remind myself, Kelly, you're not here by yourself. You can hear God. What is he saying? What is he saying about this situation? What's the answer to this problem? Go in prayer and listen.
I love that so much. Well, that was going to be my next question, Kelly. Love to know how you came to Christ, and even in a broader context, how the Lord prepared you to be an NFL sports agent.
Only he understands that whole journey. I didn't know that was the path I was on for most of my life. I actually became an agent at age 32. And so now when I pour into young women and young men too, who are younger or even high school or college, and they think they have to have everything figured out, they have to know exactly what God, you know, has for their future, I can point to my journey and say, I didn't know. I just knew what God had for me to do in that moment, day by day. How can I walk out in obedience? And so my goodness, my journey to come to know Jesus, I grew up in the Bible Belt, you know, Oklahoma, where everybody, it wasn't, you know, do you go to church? It was, do you go to the Methodist church or the Baptist church? Everybody went to church, but it was social, at least for my family. It wasn't something that was a very real, tangible part of our everyday life. We just called ourselves Christians and went to church. And I'm so, through the years, I can look back and I can see how God's hand was on my life and how he was speaking to me throughout my life and sending people across my path. And he protected me in so many ways. I look back and think, you know, gosh, my life really could have taken a bad turn since I really wasn't walking with God, but he protected me, he kept his hand on me. And it wasn't until I was in the middle of law school and I was really struggling. I had spent my entire life really performance driven and fear, honestly, fear driven. I lived in so much fear every day that I was never going to be good enough, that I would let my parents down, that I wasn't a good enough person. I wasn't smart enough or talented enough. I compared myself constantly and just lived in this constant fear, even when I did have successes. And I was able to achieve a lot of the goals that I had set for myself as a young girl, academically and athletically, and you know, all of the things that I thought would make me happy and fulfilled. And I found myself in the middle of law school in a very broken and empty state. Nothing that I had achieved, not even any relationships that I had were filling up the ever-growing hole inside of me. And I just reached a point where I just said, I can't do it anymore. I can't live like this anymore. There's got to be an answer. And I remember looking up at the sky as I would walk back and forth between the law school and my little apartment where I lived. I remember looking up at the sky and saying, God, is there more? Are you real? You know, I've heard all about you my whole life. But I feel so empty. Nothing that I'm trying to do on my own is fulfilling this deep desire in me to be loved and to pour myself out. You know, I feel purposeless. I feel lost. I feel empty. But I need to know that you're real. And it's not like he sent, you know, a lightning bolt across the sky or anything huge. But as I remember the moment I walked into my apartment, and it was in March of 1997, and I just dropped to my knees, and I felt, for the first time, I felt his presence. I knew, and I can't even explain it, but I knew that he was real, that he loved me. And it came when I just really raised my hands. And I didn't grow up in a church where anyone raised their hands or there was nothing demonstrative. But all I knew was I was reaching for him. And I just said, I surrender this mess of my life, even all the glory, all the crowns, all of it. I'm just going to surrender. And his presence just filled me up. And for the first time, I knew that Jesus really was who he said he was. And that was, it was that simple moment of a surrender and then asking for him to show up. And he did. And that was so the good starting point. And my life changed in that moment.
I love the different ways God draws his children unto him. I just think that's so precious. And there's a point in the book where you're working as a lawyer And I think if I remember right, if it was an athlete, I think his name was Josh, if I remember right. But anyway, he approached you needing help with his nonprofit. That was sort of a catalyst as far as opening the door and even awakening you to the possibility of stepping into sports management. Maybe tell us that story and how God started to kind of change the trajectory for you a little bit.
Isn't it amazing? I know probably a lot of people listening are planners. They try to map out everything. And it's good to be on top of things and be organized and planning. But I could not have planned the journey that brought me to where I was ultimately supposed to be. And I remember just trusting God, you know, in that moment in the middle of law school, first thinking that God was going to call me to be a missionary. I thought I was going to travel to Africa and care for orphans. And I fortunately had some mentors in my life that said, Kelly, why don't you actually pray and ask God what he wants you to do? Don't just assume that you're not right where you're supposed to be. And so I spent time really praying and seeking God's voice again. And I knew after spending a lot of time with him that I was supposed to finish law school. But I also knew that I was supposed to, in law school, I was supposed to study how I could help others that wanted to be missionaries or plant churches or do charitable work or philanthropy. And so I started adding that to my studies just on my own. And I became proficient in nonprofit organization law, which is sort of a subset of law. And so when I started my law practice in 2000, I was a litigator, and which was very tense and very overwhelming. But then I also worked with nonprofit organizations, and I was blessed enough to get to sort of develop a reputation for being the lawyer that could help a ministry or help a foundation either get started or fix problems. And that reputation spread. And at one point, 5 years into my law practice, I got that unexpected phone call from a former player, former NFL player and his family, and they needed help with their foundation. And it was in sitting down and meeting with them that my eyes were opened to the world of professional athletics. And I was a fan growing up. I feel like everyone in Oklahoma loves football. That's probably not true, but that was my world. But I didn't know anything about the sports business or sports agents. And I just found it fascinating. I asked the player and his family, you know, who helped you with this? Who was it the same person that negotiated your contract? What else did they do for you? And I remember at one point his mom saying, where were you in the beginning? Where were you when we got started? We would have loved to have worked with someone like you. And I remember kind of laughing and saying, oh, then no, that's, I'm a lawyer, you know, but I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated to find out what sports agents actually do. But she was the one that planted the seed and said, you need to think about this because there are families out there that will need you. So I started on a quest to learn more about the industry, and the more I learned, the more I realized how really shady and corrupt it was, to be honest. It was everything that you see in the movies and on TV, just really, really a slimy business. And it turned me off so much that at a point I said, God, you know, clearly you wouldn't want me to do this. And it was as if God said, you know, you're missing the point. You're missing the fact that I am calling you to this industry because my light is needed here. And
I'm going to pause here. Let's pause here. I'm so sorry. I got to pause just to take a quick break. When we come back, there's so much more to this story. I mean, first of all, friends, thinking of a woman entering a quote-unquote man's world, you know, representing athletes. But then you hear these stories of these young players. All they have on their mind is fame, football, and finances. And you really, part of your calling was to help them look up and go, what if you got injured? What about a life that's bigger than football? Yes. What's your God-given calling? You know, what would you do after the sport? I just love that God moved you into that realm, and so many need direction. So we're going to pick up the story on the other side, talking to Kelly Masters. Wow, her book, High Impact Life, A Sports Agent's Secret to Finding and Fulfilling a Purpose You Can't Lose. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Kelly Masters. She's an NFL sports agent, and she's a female. And I just can't wait for you to hear some of the backstory of what she had to go through to step into that part of her calling. Her book is titled High Impact Life, A Sports Agent's Secrets to Finding and Fulfilling a Purpose You Can't Lose. As I said before, she gives you some backstory behind the scenes of what it was like for her, but then turns it around and gives application for you and encourages you to step into your high calling as well. I've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you have questions for Kelly, send those in a separate text. And she writes this: your calling has nothing to do with being as good as or better than anyone else. It's about finding and fulfilling the purpose you are meant to serve. I hated to cut you off because we had to go to break, because there's so much about your story. So here you're a lawyer, but you were also kind of educating yourself in nonprofits because you're a Christian and you wanted to be able to help nonprofit organizations, you know, if they're in trouble or just to get themselves set up. Through that, you met an athlete who approached you about his nonprof, and then his mom said, you know, you really need to step into this and think about this. Yeah. So talk, if you would, about as you started to process it and realize the need, these young players who, you know, again, maybe have football fame and finances on their mind, but they're not thinking about the big story. Just give it, I mean, just pick up wherever you want. There's so many questions I have. I'll just let you go.
I know. So, you know, as I mentioned, I grew up a football fan, but I didn't, you know, what I did notice one thing that I would idolize, along with so many fans, I would idolize these players. And then, you know, especially seeing here in Oklahoma, after their careers were done in the NFL, they would come back to Oklahoma, and all you would really hear were, you know, occasionally there were the positive stories of how they succeeded in life after football. But most of the time, you heard of stories of these former, you know, idols that everyone held up as these amazing men, and suddenly they come back to their home state and they're broken a lot of times. And I always wondered, how does that happen? How does a player make $100 million, let's say, and have millions of people watching him on TV, and yet find himself in a place of destitution with no money, no influence, you know, no future? And I thought there has to be a way to break that cycle. And so I saw it from both sides, the players who desperately needed someone in their life to not just help them maximize their opportunity and protect their, you know, protect themselves and their future during their career. They also needed someone to help them know who they were and know their worth and their value beyond the football field. And so there were even, you know, the people like Josh that first reached out to me who had done well, but just needed direction and guidance. And then there were the ones that were down and out. And so I saw such a need for someone like me. You know, I had pictured, as most people probably would picture, what they think a sports agent looks like. They think of Jerry Maguire or Drew Rosenhaus, you know, pounding the table and show me the money and thinking just about the lifestyle and the glamour. And for me, it became ministry. It became, how can I step alongside this young man who, when I first meet them, are, you know, 20, 21 years old. Yeah, they're kids. How can I step alongside them when they're about to have an opportunity of a lifetime and walk them through this process where they understand the responsibilities, the obligations, but also the opportunities? And even more than that, how they have worth and value, that this is a great platform and a great window of opportunity for them, but they have value and worth and they have a calling on their life beyond playing football, beyond making touchdowns or making tackles or whatever it is that they're going to be out there doing. They're called to so much more. And so from day one, I knew that I was not, as an agent, I was not going to appeal to every player and family. Some players were going to look for the show me the money guy. And not that I'm also very, very focused on excellence in contract negotiation and making sure my players are paid appropriately and protected and taken care of, but also that they see the bigger picture and they know who they are in Jesus and who they're called to be. And my success is not just representing a top five pick or doing, you know, the largest contract for a player at a position in history. It's also seeing them go on to live a very fulfilling, rewarding, and impactful life. That's why the book's called High Impact Life. And the great thing is, the things that I do for my players and the processes that I walk them through and lessons that I teach, those are applicable for all of us. I need to hear all of it too. And every person in my life needs someone to pour into them. And maybe it's this book about how valuable they truly are and how they have a calling if they're just willing to step out and step into it.
And when you started, I mean, again, it was audacious. I mean, I love that you were following God. I love this. I'm going to read this quote again. Your calling has nothing to do with being as good or better than anyone else. It's about finding and fulfilling the purpose you were meant to serve. So you had your eye on the prize. The Lord had confirmed it. But still, it was audacious. And for you to step into a man's world, so to speak, I mean, truly, you even had an agent, I think he's a pretty well-known agent, if I remember right, stepping in your face, in your space, and telling you to basically go home, that you'd made a mistake. Tell us that story.
No, that's when I can say it's so important that you know you are where you're supposed to be, and that you've prayed and you are following your calling, because I had not just that moment, but several moments where I was faced with, you know, being confronted that I didn't belong, or I would never be successful. I was in the wrong place. And I could go back to saying, no, I know I prayed about this. I know God said. So I was at my very first NFL combine, which is if you can imagine all the testosterone in the world stuffed into downtown Indianapolis, just, you know, coaches and owners and players, all in one place. And the players are trying to impress the team so they can get drafted as high as possible. And all the agents are there as well. And so at my very first combine, it was about 900 men and a handful of us women, which I hadn't even thought that that was going to be, you know, I didn't think about that when God called me to do this, that, oh, I guess women don't really do this. I just knew I was called. And so I stepped into this meeting with 900 men and felt as overwhelmed as you can imagine. And I stepped out at one point, and as you mentioned, one of the best known, most successful agents walked up to me and said, let me tell you, first of all, asked, what are you doing here? And then said, let me tell you why you don't belong here and why everyone in there thinks you're a joke and players will never listen to you. You'll never be part of our club, basically. You need to do something more appropriate with your life. And in that moment, I could have caved and said, oh my gosh, the most successful person that I look up to in this industry just told me I'm never going to make it. I could have taken that in and given up in that moment, but something rose up in me and I was able to say, you know, stop your lecture. You don't know me. You don't know why I'm here. You don't know what I'm capable of. And you're going to have to deal with me someday because I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, it was very much a David and Goliath feeling moment. I use that story and the illustrations around that story a lot because I identify so much with it. But I was facing a Goliath in that moment. But as I like to remind people, we talk about the little guy, you know, and the underdog story of David and Goliath. But David won. And Goliath got his head cut off. This other agent didn't get his head
just
cut
a little
off.
Reminder.
he didn't have his head cut off, but he did have to eat his words at some point. And things have come full circle. I now have his respect and respect of many others in the industry that honestly probably whispered behind my back when I started, you know, she's not going to be here long.
I got to jump in here. Wow, so good talking to Kelly Masters. When we come back, I want to talk more about just the price you paid for your calling behind the scenes and then some of the breakthrough moments you experienced as well. More with Kelly Masters in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to NFL sports agent Kelly Masters. Wow, what a story. High Impact Life is the title of her book, A Sports Agent's Secrets to Finding and Fulfilling a Purpose You Can't Lose. And so if you just hopped on and just tuned in, Kelly was a lawyer and but also helped nonprofit ministries on the side. And then long story short, God opened the door and let her in to become an NFL sports agent. And really, in a world where it is all about show me the money and you're wanting to set these young players up so that they can have a life after football, how scary for you? I mean, you opened the book, I think, if I remember right, with the story of when you were going in to be certified and there, you know, I mean, you're in there with all these men. I just can't imagine what that must have felt like.
You know, I put on a confident face. And sometimes you just have to do that. You have to know you belong there, even if inside you're feeling all the anxiety that you can imagine. I just had to step in and walk by faith and also know, like I've said already, you know, a bunch of times today, knowing you belong there, knowing that you need to be there. Yeah, I mean, I walked in and all of a sudden I was thinking, I don't know enough about football. I'm not, you know, I don't have that personality. I can't act like him. There were people taking the exam that had been scouts for NFL teams, had played in the NFL, were, you know, highly respected already in the NFL. And I mentioned one of my friends that I saw from law school, and he already had, you know, future clients in the pipeline lined up for when he passed the test. He ended up failing the test, which is another story. But I walked in with no future clients, really a background in law and a casual understanding of football. But I was so overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, I know I'm going to be under the microscope because I am a woman. Do I know enough? Have I studied enough? What have I gotten myself into? But I just set my sights on becoming exactly what I was supposed to be. And I did. I knew I would do everything that it took.
So tell us about some of your wins and even what that was like to start acquiring clients. You know, I mean, I guess it's a twofold question because you're right. I like that you kind of de-glamorize it because you invest all this time. You spent all this money on these potential clients and you get these no-shows or they don't text you back and you've dumped all this time into them. But there are some wins too, obviously. So maybe share a little bit about some of the wins and then just what it was like for you to get established.
Definitely. The wins are so, so precious to me because I see all of the losses and all of the times that it didn't work. And so every yes to me is just a huge victory. The very first, I remember really bombing the first few times I tried to meet with players. It just didn't go well. And then I had an opportunity to meet with a quarterback from Texas Tech University. His name was Cody. And he decided to give me a chance. He asked me to come down and meet with him and his family. I walked into the meeting again, sort of that trying to silence the doubts in my head that can I answer all their questions? Do I know enough? Can I handle this? And I walked in and very confidently made my presentation to him and his family and braced myself for any questions that I wasn't able to answer. And somehow I was able to rise to the occasion and answer all of their questions. But I confessed to him in that moment with all of his family there, I've never done this. I know the business on paper and I know it in theory, but I've never actually represented a player in the NFL. And he kind of shrugged and said, well, I've never had an agent. So we're in the same boat.
Wow.
And he put his faith and his trust in me. He's a believer as well. And we navigated that first year in the NFL. I learned so much and gained so much because he put his blind faith in me. And I'll forever be grateful for that initial win because it opened the door. He's now in the process of planting a church. So, and still very much part of my life, which is great. 15, 16 years later. Then there was the moment that I signed, my record breaking player, Gerald McCoy. He had played at OU. I had met him when he was in high school at an FCA banquet, introduced myself to his family. Years later, his dad had kept my card and wallet and called, gave me a meeting. And he played in his final OU game on New Year's Eve. And I remember thinking, I have to, you know, he's done after this game. I have to finish this. I have to get in and fight for this player because I know I'm supposed to represent him. And I remember on New Year's Eve calling his dad, calling repeatedly just to get him to answer the phone. And I said, I know I'm bothering you and it's New Year's Eve and I know you want to spend time with your family, but can we just meet one more time? And he said no initially. And I said, just please, I'm just asking you for 10 minutes. And I went over, met with his family, and he ended up signing with me. And that's when I became the first woman to represent a first rounder, having started an independent agency and gotten certified and all of that. The only other woman that had ever represented a first rounder was a lawyer that did it years and years before when it was her brother. And so it was a moment that I had been told so many times would never happen. And I'm so thankful now that other women and other people who dream of accomplishing things can look at that and say, okay, she was told it was impossible. And yet she trusted God enough and put herself out there enough that she saw it come to fruition. And it does. You know, walking with God is not an easy life. It is a blessed life and a rewarding life. But he does call us to step out in faith, a lot of times in scary situations, and take on the giants and take on the risks. It's not a safe place to stay. It's not, Amen. You're not safe in a safe place. You're mm-hmm. stepping out and fighting for what God has given you to fight for. And so, Amen. Yeah, it's been quite an adventure.
And that's why it just goes back again to being, you know, getting your marching orders from the Lord, making sure he's the one that's called you. And, you know, you also tell a story of a player that actually did help sign with the NFL. But once he got there, he didn't want to put the work into it. He just like yeah. kind of like, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but, you know, he didn't want to do the work. And you kept trying to get him to hang in there. But you can't care about something more than he can care about it. And you kind of use that as an example of really when we are going to live in a high impact life, when we're asking God to do something that's disproportionate to who we are, there's always sacrifice, hard work. Yeah. You always get a little battered one way or another. Maybe speak to that. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a line in the movie Moneyball, and it talks about Billy Bean, and he was a general manager. He kind of changed the way baseball operations ran. And at one point, someone said to him, "You know, the first man through the wall always gets bloody." And I feel like I'm that first man through the wall in a lot of ways. But you do when you commit to doing something, and also when God blesses you with an opportunity and opens the door. That's not the end. That's not the, oh, now I can relax and I can, you know, thank you, God, for doing this. Now I can just coast. There's always another challenge ahead. There's always another, and that's God, the word tells us that, you know, in this world we'll have trouble and there will be trials, but he also promises he's going to be with us. And so that's why it's, as you mentioned, it's so important to have sought God's face and heard his voice, pressed into the word until you know what you're supposed to be doing. And then when it gets hard, when it gets tough, you persevere, knowing that you're not alone and knowing that you're equipped. I remember in one of my low moments, I mentioned to one of my friends, like, you know, it's so hard when you get so beat up doing what you know you should be doing, and yet it's still hard and you still face trials. And I remember my friend said, you know, when the disciples got in the boat with Jesus and they were crossing over and the storm arose, were they not supposed to be in the boat? And so, well, that's a really good point. Because of course they were with Jesus. They were doing what Jesus asked. And she said, just because a storm rolls in doesn't mean you're not where you're supposed to be. And that gave me such encouragement that even when it looks like things are falling apart, even when you're being pressed on all sides, focus on him, focus on who am I called to be? And God, you know, I'm going to trust you that this is all part of it. This is all part of the journey to me becoming, and I will be becoming, we all will be becoming what we're supposed to be for the rest of our lives. It's not I did this and now I've arrived. And that's a lesson I have to help my players with, is just because they get drafted and sign the contract doesn't mean that it's going to be all easy after that and that the work stops. The work gets harder, but you grow and you get stronger and you're able to take on more responsibility. And the walk of faith is never truly gets easier, but we do get stronger. And as long That's as our good. Faith grows, we know we're not alone.
I love that. It doesn't get easier, but we get stronger. You know, scripture says, it pleases you to make me strong. It says that in the Psalms. So yeah. I love that. Yeah. Doesn't get easier, but he makes us stronger. So good. How long would you say it took you to be taken seriously within the NFL as a female sports agent?
Well, I have to laugh. If anyone follows me on Twitter, I have a pinned tweet from just 2 years ago. And after I'd been in the business for almost 15 years, and it was a coach that called and he said, yeah, I need to talk to so-and-so's agent. And I said, well, I'm his agent. And he said, no, his agent. And I said, no, I'm his agent. And he said, well, I didn't know he was represented by a girl. And I went, well, yeah, actually, girls do this. And so that's rare that I get that kind of a question. But it probably, I remember being you know, back at the combine in 2010, after I had signed a really, really highly respected player, and all of a sudden, other agents and people around the industry saying, "Oh, we knew you were going to do it. We never had a doubt." And I was thinking, "Yeah, right. Like, you guys talked about me for years, and probably laughed about, like, bless her heart, she's never going to figure out that she's not cut out for this." And I just persisted. And so I remember in 2010, that was a moment when I finally felt like, okay, I have fought these battles. I have earned this respect. And now hopefully other people, not just women, but others who are maybe believers or want to do things with integrity, which is so rare in the industry, I hope and pray that I paved a path for those people to be able to get in and say, you know what, I don't have to look like other people. I don't have to, you know, cheat. I don't have to do things that other people are doing that I don't agree with. I can walk in integrity. I can be myself, and I can have success.
Yeah, I would imagine that, you know, character kind of draws character. You know, the word on the street is you're someone who's walking in integrity, who's not going to be sucked into the glamour of it all and, you know, the greed of it all, that you really care about the bigger picture. If there's a player and his family who care about the bigger picture, they're going to find you somehow, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. When we come back, I'm just curious. When you're dealing with, you know, especially young players who've got incredible football potential, stars in their eyes, the potential to make a lot of money, and you're trying to tilt their chin upward to say, okay, let's look at the bigger story picture here, and who do you want to become? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? I would love to know, how often is that met with, you know, glazed over eyes, and how often people really want to hear what you have to say because they do want to plan long term. I'm just curious about that. Talking to Kelly Masters, her book, High Impact Life, A Sports Agent's Secret to Finding and Fulfilling the Purpose You Can't Lose. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. I just had to let that play out in case you need a little pick-me-up. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Kelly Masters. She's the author of the book, High Impact Life, A Sports Agent's Secret to Finding and Fulfilling a Purpose You Can't Lose. And she says this: you are the first, last, and only you that has ever existed, and God gave you special gifts and talents for a reason. No one else on the planet can do what you were meant to do. It's up to you to take the necessary steps to become the very best version of yourself. And before the break, I asked the question, when you're working with these NFL players and you as a believer are trying to, you know, help them see the bigger story, to plan for life after football, but even to not get their identity from the game, but, you know, from a bigger calling in their life. How often, when you're trying to talk with young players who've got fame and fortune and all the other stuff in their minds, how often does it really work for you to say, can I get you to see a bigger picture here?
That's a really good question. And I mentioned or alluded to it earlier, I knew when I became an agent that I was going to do things differently and that I wasn't going to be for everyone, that there would be players that would not connect with what I had to say or with my vision for helping them. And so by the time I sit down with a player and a family, I've gone through a process of elimination, basically looking at not just great players, but also men of character. And not necessarily believers. This is a mission field for me too. They don't have to be walking with God, you know, at a certain level for me to meet with them. That's not the point. But I look for a young man that is not just exceptional on the field with a great work ethic, but also has that he's seeking a purposeful life. He's seeking more in life. And I can usually identify that by the time I've read all the scouting reports, talk to coaches, talk to people who know him, talk to his family, I can identify, okay, these are the types of players that I would be able to put my whole heart into advocating for and fighting for and protecting. And so by the time we get to that point, most of the time I have a good idea of what a player, how a player is going to respond when I say, okay, every agent's come in here and said, you're going to be a top five pick. You're going to be a first round pick. You're so great at X, Y, and Z. Every agent's going to tell you that. But what you're going to hear from me is you are so valuable to God, and your calling on your life is so much bigger than you can even imagine right now. And it's, I feel like it's my role as an agent to not only fight for you and help you have an amazing football career, but also start from day one working on what does the future look like? What is ultimately your calling that you're going to fulfill? And what is your legacy that you're going to leave, not just for yourself and for your family, but for your community and the bigger picture, the country, the world. And so I start talking almost immediately with a player the first time we sit down and talk about what his future is going to look like. That's a different conversation than sitting down going, well, you're probably only going to play for 3 or 4 years. We need to talk about retirement, because no player wants to talk about that. I know I didn't want to think about retiring when I was 20 years old or 21 years old. And most players have it in their head that they're just going to play football forever. And so I don't focus on, let's talk about retirement. I focus on, okay, let's make the most of this amazing opportunity that you have because of God's gifts and because of your hard work. Let's make the most of that. But let's also talk about everything that you're going to be able to do in by fulfilling your purpose on this earth.
Wow, that's so good. So you usually part of a bidding war. I mean, do you reach out to them? Do they reach out to you? Or do players kind of come up through the ranks? And so a lot of agents are vying to represent them?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And if the higher profile the player, the more they're bombarded. So when a recruiting process starts, even right now, I'm recruiting for 2 years from now. And those players, a lot of those players have heard from maybe hundreds of agents, or at least dozens of agents. And it really is identifying and connecting with a player and then making it through as the player's weeding out. I'm weeding out, the players are weeding out who they see themselves working with. And when it gets down to the final year, right before their football season, they've usually narrowed it to 3 to 5 agents. And then by the end of the season, they're ready to do sort of a final, you know, speed round of meetings, and then they pick. And I can't tell you how many times I've come down to the final two or the final three only to see it slip away. But I also believe this, that I will sign the players that I'm supposed to sign. Mm. And my prayer always is that the enemy can't get involved. I rebuke the enemy from stealing a player from me. But I always believe that if I have done everything, if I have left it all in the field, so to speak, and I've done everything that I need to do, that I'm going to end up signing the players that I'm supposed to sign and not signing the ones that I'm not. And so far, it's really worked out that way.
Wow, that's amazing. What would you say to the person listening today who, you know, they're kind of listening in awe of the guts that you've had to go after the call of God on your life, and they feel maybe a pitter-patter in their chest, like, I know God is calling me to attempt something that is so out of my comfort zone, but I'm terrified of the critics. And let's be real, the critics are terrible these days. You know, people use social media as such a weapon. So it's a real concern. So what would you say? What advice? How do you deal with the critics?
First, I'm going to say this. I may sound brave and courageous, but those who know me know that I have had to battle. I made a decision not to be fueled by fear many years ago, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't try to do battle with me every day and in situation after situation. So I don't always feel like I have it all together and everything is a piece of cake. I look to the word. I look to my faith in Jesus to help me overcome my own insecurities and my doubts. And I do, I'm probably the worst at beating myself up because I wrestle with perfectionism, as I think a lot of people do. So I would say this, if you're listening to this and thinking, gosh, I'm just so terrified of what it would look like for me to step out into that crazy dream or that destiny that I feel like is in me, I'm going to encourage you. It's okay to feel that. Just because you have those thoughts and those feelings doesn't mean you're a failure. And it doesn't mean that you're not capable. Every single person who's ever stepped out and accomplished something great, especially accomplishing something specifically that God has called us to do, there's going to be a level of fear and anxiety that you have to walk through and get on the other side of it. Queen Esther is one of my favorite stories of that. She had to overcome potentially losing her life. And so when I'm really in the middle of a struggle or feeling particularly upset about or afraid of something, I think, well, at least I don't have to face, you know, possible death to go to this meeting. It's just a meeting, or it's just myself out there. You know, what are the consequences? And so I think you have to keep your perspective that life is meant to be a journey and an adventure, and we're all in different places of growing, and you're going to keep growing. But you can't let fear hold you in a place of inaction. You absolutely have to set your mind and your eyes on what God's calling you to do and ignore that. Ignore the rest. Amen.
So good. You know, somebody and who just stands out to me, who I'm just amazed by, is Tim Tebow. You know, I know he's, you know, he's not the picture of, you know, he's not a Tom Brady, of course, right? But he's received so much criticism. He has stayed so humble and gracious and so about the kingdom. He is a great athlete. I mean, but I have marveled at how he's navigated these waters. And I remember these two commentators, back when he was still playing football, these two sports commentators, one was kind of mocking him. The other one said, mock all you want. But he said, if I were going to pick someone to date my daughter, it would be that guy right down there on the field. And I just thought, well, if that doesn't show you the contrast of people picking him apart and others going, well, he's got so much character. But I just love your thoughts on that.
I absolutely love Tim Tebow as a person, as a player. I've met him on several occasions, but don't know him. I wouldn't say I know him or know him well. But what I admire so much is he maintains such perspective. And I think that's a lot. I will give his parents a ton of credit for praying over him as a little boy and instilling those truths in him at an early age. And then him continuing to walk in that. I remember him being asked somewhere, and maybe it was back when he was playing with Denver, and he was so criticized for his play, for his faith, for being just who he was. And someone asked him, you know, is it hard, like, to get up every day and face the critics and think that, you know, people are expecting you to fail? Is that hard? And I don't remember exactly the story he told, but it was something about, no, hard is waking up in an orphanage in the Philippines and not knowing where your next meal is coming from. You know, hard is facing possible death for being persecuted for your faith. And his perspective was just so good. Of course, if he maintains that perspective, he's going to remain anchored no matter what. And I think he's a great example for anyone that is thinking, gosh, I want to do this with my life, or I want to step out and do something, but I'm terrified of what people are going to think or people are going to say. It really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. It's when God is pleased with you, that is what matters. And he's got you. No matter what, God has got you as long as you seek him.
Amen. You know, and there is a day of reckoning coming. I've just been reading in 1 Peter about the idea, even when we suffer for our faith and we go through many trials, there's a glory that's waiting for us that we're going to share in the glory of God as he reveals to the whole world his glory, that we belong to him. You know, I mean, there's going to be a day when he shows who's who in the zoo, so to speak. You know, people are going to rip all they want. But I mean, there is an inheritance stored up for us. And there is a day of reckoning where God will reveal, she belongs to me, and all your criticisms are ashes under her feet. You know, we just got about 40 seconds left. But any last thoughts you want to leave us with today?
I'm so grateful for opportunities like this to really get to share with people. We are all, every person that loves Jesus, that wants to become who he has called us to be, we're all in this together to encourage one another. And I would just encourage everyone, be bold. Be bold in your faith. Be bold in your encouragement. Other people need to hear your stories of hope and what you've overcome. And I'm grateful to get to share my story, but I look forward to meeting the thousands of people that I will meet along this journey that also have stories of hope and encouragement. So that would be my final admonition.
Thank you, dear Kelly. It's so good to meet you. Thanks for having the courage and the guts that you do to go after what God's called you to. And I pray we can talk again sometime.
Thank you. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm. Kelly Masters, everyone. Title of her book, High Impact Life. We're going to leave that drawing open for a little bit longer. If you want some interesting behind-the-scenes look at the sports world, plus an encouragement on how to walk out the call of God, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.